This is The Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Cinema Geeks. I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me today is, of course, the Comic Concierge, Dan. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Going wonderful. If you guys didn't catch our last episode, we're back at it doing our thing. So go back and check the previous episode out where we predicted the 2025 box office results. I'm sure we were right. So just, you know, bookmark that and check it in a year, and I'm sure we'll be Nostradamus-like. So that was last week, our last episode. And this episode, we're going to do another look ahead at 2025. But instead of giving two rats about money, we're going to be talking about what films actually are on our radar as far as most anticipated films we're looking forward to for a variety of reasons. Usually it comes down to one of, I don't know, four things maybe. So you look at the director, that can be a big tell. We all have our favorite directors. Sometimes you might look at the writer. Sometimes it's the cast. Sometimes it's just the synopsis of the film and what it sounds like it's going to be like. We've done this a number of different years, but it's been a little while. So Dan, kind of what was your process going through this and coming up with your list of most anticipated films of 2025?
Yeah, I'll be honest, because like I've been out of it for the like movies last year or two. So like, you know, some of the more up and coming directors I'm not really sure about. And also the number one thing is I wanted to go with something that had like an actual release date, because like get those movies where it's like TBA, who knows if actually coming out. So that was the number one thing, which I think helped limit it down. And like you said, I looked at directors, actors, and then some premises of like what seemed interesting. So that's kind of the way I looked at it. And also, if you know, I did franchises or something like that, or something that I'm interested in that I have connection towards, that was something I considered too.
I should have phoned a friend when I was coming up with my list, because if I would have narrowed it down based on solid release dates, that would have been 10 times easier. So I will probably do my normal thing where I have films on my list that don't come out in 2025. So let's just
make it
like it used to be, where I think I had sometimes where I had a film on my list like three different years for the most anticipated, like The Irishman or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So spoiler alert for me, I actually will have nothing on my list that we talked about last episode. So,
interesting.
Yeah, nothing that came up in the box office discussion is going to make my list. So that is, I guess, is kind of interesting. It's just not, I'm not saying I'm not interested in some of the main blockbuster films or I won't be watching them and stuff like that, but it doesn't have the box office, like the blockbuster, I guess, is what I meant to say. The blockbuster slate doesn't have like the typical ones that are like ones that I get like super excited about, I guess. Like there's no, I don't know, like in recent years, like if a Planet of the Apes movie was coming out, I would be interested in that for a while before it became a little bit numb. Star Wars films would be like that. So, I mean, this year doesn't have the ones that are like my go-to like blockbuster films. So we'll see. Maybe something will surprise me, but that's kind of an interesting slate this year where none of them are the blockbusters. But so we'll go through, we're going to count down our 10 through 1, just so you guys are aware, if a film comes up that's on somebody else's list, that's higher on the list, we're just going to talk about it all together just for sake of making the conversation flow a little bit better. And then towards the end, we'll probably go over a few honorable mentions that didn't quite make our list. Dan, anything else that you want to get out of the way before we get into our number 10s?
No, go ahead and get started.
All right, I'll go ahead and start off. I think you started off with the blockbuster, so I'll start off here for most anticipated. And we'll just ping pong back and forth. So, like I said, a lot of times for me, it comes down to a combination of the cast and then the director slash writer, and then a little tiny bit about the genre or the plot synopsis, something like that. This one has two things going for it. I don't know if I'm as big on the premise and whatnot, but it's making my list basically based on the director and the main actor. So I am going with a film that says it's coming out in the spring. So it doesn't say to be determined or to be announced. It actually says spring. It just doesn't give me any type of month or day. So I don't know. I feel that it's promising that it's going to come out in 2025 if it at least says spring. So this film is a crime thriller. It's about a bank heist in Manhattan. where some masked robbers take control of the bank and hold hostages, and it explores hidden agendas and deception as detectives try to understand the motivations behind the heist. That alone doesn't do it for me, because I feel like there's been 100 movies that have been similar to that. What does do it for me is it's directed by Spike Lee and it stars Denzel Washington. So it's called Highest to Lowest, and also starring Jeffrey Wright, who's been big as of the last, I'd say, 5-10 years. So Spike Lee, Denzel, that's enough for me. I don't really need to see too much more, so it was able to creep in here at number 10 for me.
Nice. Yeah, that's not on my list. I honestly didn't even know that was coming out, so there you go. But I think, thinking Spike Lee did, Inside Man, and that was a really great...
Yeah.
I don't know if you know if you can call that a heist movie, but it, kind of... So, yeah, I would be interested to see him kind of go back to that again.
Yeah, absolutely. What was your number 10?
So my number 10, I don't know if we talked about this in box office or not. I don't know. I don't think this is a movie that's going to be huge at the box office, but it is part of a franchise. And a big reason I have this at number 10 is because I did want to consider something like I'm going to go see with my family that I think I'm just looking forward to that experience. And there are a lot of movies we'll go see that I'm not super excited for, but I know my kids will like, so that'll be good. But this one I am excited to see, maybe even more than my kids, and that is Paddington in Peru, Paddington 3, which I know technically is a 2023 movie first, like, you know, Europe and stuff like that, but for us in the States, it's a 2024 film. Saw the trailer when I went to go see, I think, Moana 2. Kids really dug it, so I'm really looking forward to it. Paddington 2, such a good movie. So it was the first Paddington. I think people overlook that the first Paddington's really strong as well. They're movies that are so much better than they have any business being. And, can that continue with Paddington 3? I don't know, but I think it will at least be one of those family films that, there's so many limited, there's so few choices, like, really, really good family films anymore. Like, I feel like us growing up, we had all those, like, sport movies, like Mighty Ducks and Sandlot, like, those movies that are, like, for kids and families, and this is one of the few. And it's also really good, so that's why I had it at number 10.
I actually, that is a franchise I don't think I've seen any of the films on yet. I know it's got, like, everybody talks well, highly of it, and I think now that I have a daughter, maybe that'll be something that we can put on sometime and watch together. I just missed it. I missed the first one, and I haven't watched any of the other one, the second one, because I hadn't seen the first one yet, so I need to catch up on that franchise, because I've only heard good things.
Yeah, it has a lot of, like, physical humor and stuff like that that kids like, but it's also just really well done, and it's just super charming, so.
Nice. Excellent. Well, my number 9 is, I kind of am torn a little bit. So I like the director. The director is Gore Verbinski, who did a bunch of the Pirates of the Caribbean films. He did Rango. He did A Cure for Wellness. And then he stopped directing for like the last 9 years. So this is going to be his first film in 9 years. It's called Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die. And so I'm excited to see what he does 9 years later. The writer, Matthew Robinson, I'm a little on. He hasn't done anything that's, like, really wowed me. But this one stars Sam Rockwell, Michael Pena, Juno Temple. It's a sci-fi film. And the premise reads, a man from the future travels to the past and recruits the patrons of a Los Angeles diner he arrives in to help combat a rogue artificial intelligence. That sounds kind of zany to me. And I don't know, like, I love Rango. That's one of my favorite animated films of all time. And I'm just interested to see how this all works out. I like Sam Rockwell. I like Michael Pena. So, it's just a quirky enough premise and a combination of cast and director that I'm interested to see what he does 9 years later. So Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die is my number 9.
Yeah, that's interesting. Another one going into this, I thought we have a lot of crossover. Maybe we will get to it, but so far that's the one that's not on my list. So. Nice to see. Yeah. And also a great title. So there you go.
Yeah, I like the title. So what's your number 9, Dan?
My number 9 is, so this is one where I don't know much about the director, but honestly, part of me talking about great titles was the title just interested me, and the cast, as well as it has a really eye-catching, or at least unique, movie poster, and it's Death of a Unicorn. This is directed by Alex Sharfum. I don't know that director. It looks like it might be their first feature film that they've directed. But the cast is pretty strong, at least. It has Paul Rudd, of course, who's in everything. He seems to be the main star. Jenna Ortega, Will Poitier. And the premise of it is really, I mean, it's just described as a supernatural comedy horror film. And it's Death of a Unicorn. So I just, title kind of caught my eye. Seeing Paul Rudd attached. The poster's interesting because it's like, you have like basically a unicorn body with a sheet over it and like the horn pointing out. So it almost has like a, almost looks like kind of like, say, almost like a fantasy novel in a way. But I don't know. And it is through A24. And of course, you know, people love their A24. But it does seem a little bit something different from them. Like, I can't think of a lot of like comedies that A24 has had. So maybe it'll be something new. And I feel like I love Paul Rudd and everything he's in. So at least worst case scenario, he'll be good. But, you know, I was looking for something that was a bit different that might be out there. And I do love good comedy horror when it's done well. You know, something like, of course, like Sam Raimi is great at it. Not to put it on that type of pedestal, but it all just seemed kind of unique. So I'm curious to see how it turns out.
So this is interesting because I talked to Dan a little bit offline before we started, and I've had years in the past where we've gone to do this like most anticipated list, and I have literally, I'm not lying to you, I've put spreadsheets together that have had like 200 films on it. That was like literally every release I could possibly find that was coming out in the year, and then I like narrowed it down from that because I like spreadsheets and I'm a geek like that. But this year I didn't do anything like that. I came up with a spreadsheet of like not even 35 films and kind of narrowed it down from that. So there's going to be a bunch that are like, are not even on my radar. I didn't even know they existed, or I hadn't heard much about them. And this is one of them. Like, I didn't even know this was a thing, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah. So I'm sure it will get like some, probably be in some festivals early on and stuff. It's scheduled to come out. It has a release date on March 28th. So it's coming out pretty soon, which is kind of cool. I know like March is usually kind of can be a dumping ground, but I think for A24, they tend to, good stuff out all throughout the year, so that's why I'm not really worried about the release date. So yeah,
there you go.
Look forward to then.
I'll have to mark it down. For the record, I didn't say it, but Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die will be the first of many of my films that don't have a release date, so it's probably not this year. So and speaking of which, my number 8 also does not have a release date. This is a thriller. It's from someone who's been very much in the limelight, I guess, this last year when it comes to film, and that's Luca Guadagnino, who did Call Me By Your Name. He did Challengers and Queer. I didn't see Queer, but I saw Call Me By Your Name and I saw Challengers. He's done other films as well, obviously, but I really like those two films. Spoiler alert, I really like Challengers. And this one stars Julia Roberts and Andrew Garfield. It's listed as a thriller. A college professor is forced to grapple with her own secretive past after one of her colleagues is faced with a serious accusation. That type of storyline has been done before, I guess, in different ways. Like, I think of like movies that I really like The Hunt, but it's been done in a lot of different ways. But I think this is up Guadagnino's alley to make this interesting and unique. So I'm going to keep giving him chances, I guess, until he disappoints me. So this one is called After the Hunt. I guess I didn't realize that it had The Hunt in it, but it's called After the Hunt. And I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it comes out in 2025.
I gotta be honest, I have not seen Challengers and his new movie this year, and I wasn't the biggest fan of Call Me By Your Name. Like, I saw it multiple times in theaters because, one just for my own, but then also saw it because it was part of the Best Picture Showcase. Right. I didn't like it as much the second time, but I haven't seen Challengers or Queer, so maybe that would change my mind.
I'm just interested too. I'm a big Julia Roberts fan, and
yeah,
I feel like sometimes she doesn't get as many. I mean, I know she gets lead roles, but it's like more few and far between. So anytime that she's got a lead role, I'm like, I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Do, and I like the pairing of her and Andrew Garfield. I don't know what the relationship's going to be like, but I think that's interesting.
True. Yeah, definitely. It's good to see her in that type of role again. My number, you mentioned no franchises. This is a franchise again. But I thought about putting like no comic book movies on my list, but I would be lying to myself. So my number 8 is Fantastic Four: First Steps. It's the only Marvel movie on my list. I'm looking forward to this. I know people have been down on Marvel, and I get it. Some of the stuff they put out lately hasn't been their best stuff. But I've really liked what I've seen about this so far. Like, just the, even the marketing, like the look of it, it looks different than what typical MCU. I like the idea of doing it a retro. I think that could work. Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, I like him as an actor. I don't know if he fits the character that well, but maybe it will work. But I have high hopes that, you know, this can actually give us the first really good Fantastic Four movie. Maybe it won't turn out to be awful, but maybe this is the year Marvel bounces back. I don't know. But I just like what I see, and I am a fan of the Fantastic Four. I do like that team, that comic. So, hoping they do Stan Lee and Jack Kirby proud. We shall see, but I thought I would be lying to myself if I didn't put it someplace, but I put it at number 8.
Got to be true to yourself, and I'm hoping you're right about it. I think we're due for a good Fantastic Four film, so it would be a nice change. So I'm looking forward to that one. It didn't make my list, but I think out of the comic book movies, that one's a little bit maybe more intriguing than the rest, just to see how they do it this time. So for my number 7, combination of a lot of things, I think there's enough here that has me interested. I'm not a huge Stephen King person. I'm not saying I'm not a fan of some of the stuff that I've seen that's been based on his books, but I'm just not well versed in all things Stephen King. I believe this is a Stephen King adaptation called The Running Man, which is being directed by Edgar Wright, who did a lot of films, obviously, but the one of the more recent ones that I liked, and by recent I mean in my movie going, which was, remember, there was like a black hole the last 4 years. So he did Baby Driver right before that, and I really liked that film. It's written by a guy named Michael Bacall, who was the writer on Scott Pilgrim and 21 Jump Street. This one's starring Glenn Powell, who I love recently. I think he's been doing fantastic work. It's got Josh Brolin and William H. Macy in it. This one does have a release date, so I at least got that going for me, but it is November, so that's always tricky too. It's November 7th. So for those that don't know what The Running Man is, this one's going to be set in 2025. A game show called The Running Man has people chased by murderous hunters across the world to win money. Sounds like 2025 to me. So I don't know. I just think that there's enough things there. Stephen King, Edgar Wright, the actors that have been named on it so far. I'm interested to see how this all works out. So The Running Man is my number 7.
Nice. Well, you're a fan of the Schwarzenegger film too?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I don't think I've seen it either. I saw that The Running Man was there and I completely skipped over it because I didn't realize Edgar Wright was directing it. Who I obviously like, same to you. I love a lot of what he's done. So even movies that other people don't like, I seem to like a good deal. So maybe I'll definitely check that out. But I like you. I don't think I've seen the original, or if I did, it was like when it was on cable. So
right, it'll be one of those, like there's a few films where I've seen like the new adaptation of, and then I have to go back and watch like two different versions that came out before it.
I always go
backwards like that. What's your number 7?
My number 7, this might be on your list, just hearing what you're saying. It is another horror film. It's not based upon a Stephen King novel, maybe it could be one day, I don't know. But I'm interested in this because of, again, the director and the cast as well. This is Ryan Coogler, of course, who's done a lot of great film. He's teaming up again with Michael B. Jordan for the horror film Sinners. Fully sure about like what the premise is going to be exactly. It seems like there is a lot of interest in this movie, in the sense of, like, you know, of course, because of Ryan Coogler's background and his success in filmmaking. I like what he's done with, you know, Michael B. Jordan in the past, of course. Mm-hmm. I love Free Fuel Station, Creed, of course, Black Panther, and now, of course, they're doing Sinners together, and something different for them because I don't think he's done a horror movie before. And that does require a different type of director. This is set to be released in April as well. So I guess one of the good things is like a lot of my most anticipated films are coming out before June. So I guess we'll know.
That's really good for us because those of us that can't go to the theater that much, like that means that there's a chance we're actually going to have an opportunity to see it before the year's over. It might make its way to June by that point.
Exactly. And it's another thing too. It's like, you never know if it's like, is this actually going to hit theaters or is it, right, you know, streaming film. I'm pretty sure this is actually going to hit theaters. Although it doesn't have that, it has less than a $90 million budget, which is not that much compared to a lot of movies, but yeah, I'm a big fan of Ryan Coogler. I saw his Jack O'Connell in it, who's another actor I've actually been impressed with. He's one of my favorite films over the last like 10 years, Startup. He's great in that. Mm-hmm. So really interested to see how this one turns out.
I know this, if Amanda was on this record, I promise you this would be in her top five. It just something that's right up her alley. It is in my like just miss list. So it's like in my honorable mentions. So it was in my top 20. It just didn't quite make it to the top 10. And that's only because like vampire things are not like up my alley. Not saying I won't watch it. Not saying I won't like it. I have liked films in that genre. It's just not something that like when I see it on paper, it excites me. But Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan and, you know, Jack O'Connell and all that I'm all about that. So, and what I've seen like in images and whatnot look cool. So like, I'm all for it. And I like that it's coming out soon. So I like it. We keep saying this, and eventually we're going to hit one. My number six may be on your list. I don't know. It's hard because he just keeps on coming out with films, it seems like, every year. And it's hard for me to keep up. Like, I was doing a real good job at one point, and then I don't think I've seen his last couple. Just because, like I said, it's my movie-going experience has been a black hole since COVID. But I'm going to the world of Wes Anderson and another movie that's to be determined. So probably come out in 2026. I think it's titled The Phoenician Scheme. I'm not 100% sure. He's teaming up with a writer that he's worked with before named Roman Coppola, who I don't know how many movies they've partnered up with, but I know for sure that they partnered up on Moonrise Kingdom. So, and that is one of my favorite Wes Anderson films. So this one obviously has all of the folks in it. So we got Del Toro, Michael Cera, Bill Murray, Riz Ahmed, Tom Hanks, Benedict Cumberbatch, Scarlett Johansson, William Dafoe, Bryan Cranston. I'm sure there's like 10 other people that are like big names in there. The only thing I can find is that it says it's a dark espionage film about a strained father-daughter relationship in a family business. So I don't know exactly how he tackles that and how that would translate in his, you know, style, but it's Wes Anderson, so I felt compelled to put him on my list.
Yeah. Didn't include it just because it didn't have a release date and didn't have much like, not even like a post or anything. So I just like, I feel like this isn't coming out this year. So that's the only reason I didn't.
Like, I think he has like a quota to hit. He has to release a film every year. So
true. That's also true. So maybe, you know, figure out a way. I do feel like, I don't know, like maybe he makes movies quick or something like that. Or I don't know. I'm going to have the franchise list because I'm going to another franchise, another comic book movie, the last comic book movie on my list, but it's based upon one of my favorite superheroes, probably second, came in Captain America or 1 and 2, and that's the Superman film coming out this year. Superman's my, you know, favorite DC hero. You know, I love the original Superman, Superman 2. I even like Superman Returns and Elements of Man of Steel as well. But I love the trailer. I thought it was really good. I like the direction that they're going. I do have trust in James Gunn. Like, you know, he got me to watch a Peacemaker TV show. So I love what he did with Guardians of the Galaxy. And, you know, part of me is just... It's also that, like, how exactly they're making this new DC universe work. Like, how is it going to actually... They're putting a lot into this movie. We see, like, a lot of different characters. Mr. Terrific. We're seeing, you know, Lex Luthor and like the Norm, but also like Green Lantern. So there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not too much. You know, hopefully it's not just another, not supposed to be an origin story. So that's good. I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns, but I'm hopeful and I like what I've seen so far. And I think, you know, we deserve a good Superman film again. You know, having a movie that centers on hope and being able to be, again, uplifting experience, I think something we're going to need this year. Right. So hoping this falls through with that. So
I like your comic book pick so far because it's like the redemption story. Like we're due for a good Fantastic Four film. We're due for a good Superman film. Like I like it all. So I'm looking forward to that one too. I'm just not like the biggest I'm not the biggest like Marvel DC person, so like a lot of those wouldn't make my list, but I am very intrigued to see like how Gunn does it and like a good version of Superman I think can take us into a new chapter for some of the comic book stuff. So I like it. You know, we had a conversation before about how we were going to handle crossovers that apparently wasn't necessary. But I really think this next one is going to be on your list. Like, if there's one that I had to pick on my 10, it's got to be this one. And if it's not, I don't know if we're going to have a single one that's crossing over. So we'll see. I am a huge fan of this studio, and I am a huge fan of the director. And the writer involved has also done pretty good work, even though I'm not as well-versed or educated on him. I'm going with a film called Wildwood, which is coming from a studio called Laika, and directed by Travis Knight, who did Kubo and the Two Strings, as well as the Bumblebee movie in the Transformers franchise. It's written by, or co-written or whatever, by Chris Butler, who did Paranorman, and also partnered up with him on Kubo and the Two Strings. We got Jacob Tremblay, Mahershala Ali, Jemaine Clements in this. I think Angela Bassett's in this. Carey Mulligan. I don't know much about the actual film. This is what the synopsis reads. Prue McKeel and her best friend Curtis are drawn into a hidden magical forest after Prue's baby brother Mac is kidnapped by crows led by a mysterious woman named Alexandra. I don't know what any of that means, but I know that it's from Laika and Travis Knight. And so from an animated standpoint, this is the most anticipated animated film I have for this year.
I don't have it on my list, honestly, just because I completely missed it. I used behind the scenes, I used the Wikipedia, you know, movies coming out, which is always not great, but it's not listed there because I guess it doesn't have a solid actual release date. Yeah, but
that'll come out in 2 years.
Yeah, and I looked through a lot. I didn't see this mentioned at all, but yeah, if I did, it definitely wouldn't be in my top 10 because I like you. I loved Kubo, so yeah, this could end up being great. So I really, now I'm excited because it just gives me something else to be excited about. So
yeah, that's a good thing about doing these lists is like we both run into films that we hadn't heard of before. So I do like that. What's your number 5?
I don't think this will be on your top 10. I don't know how you feel about Yorgos Lanthimos or if you enjoy his stuff or not, because I know not everyone does. But he has a new film coming out this year. I'm probably going to butcher this, but I guess it's Begonia. I'm not sure. But he's teaming up again with Emma Stone. You know, they've done their last few movies together. Jesse Plemons as well, who's playing a beekeeper. And it is about two conspiracy-obsessed young men kidnapped a high-powered CEO of a major company, convinced that she's an alien intent on destroying planet Earth. That does seem kind of up his alley a little bit. It reminds me of something like Killing the Sacred Deer. I love a lot of his movies. I haven't seen Kinds of Kindness or whatever that came out last year, but The Favorite was a huge fan of. I love The Killing of the Sacred Deer. The Lobster was my favorite film that came out that year. I know a lot of people didn't like that one as much, but I've enjoyed so much of what he's done. So he's a very unique, specific style that kind of can turn some people away, but it hits my sensibilities quite well. And seeing that it's having Emma Stone, Jesse Plemons, Alicia Silverstone is playing his mom, which should be great. So I don't know. Like, this does have a release date in November 7th as well. Maybe it'll probably hit festivals before that, but yeah, I love his movie, so hoping this is just as good as what he's done before.
Yeah, I wasn't like as huge on The Lobster as everybody, but I did like Killing of a Sacred Deer. I liked The Favorite, and I actually liked Poor Things, so he was like winning me back. And then I saw Kinds of Kindness this last year, and it was one of my least favorite films of the year. So it just did not work for me at all. So now I'm kind of like, I don't know. Like, some of the stuff he does, I like, some he doesn't, but I get it. And I get why a lot of people are anticipating this one. So I'll probably give it a shot because, like I said, there's only really been one that I just didn't like. Lobster, it wasn't a film I didn't like. It just wasn't my favorite. Kinds of Kindness was the only one I actually have not liked. So I'll give it a shot for sure. It just wasn't, after the Kinds of Kindness, it had a sour taste in my mouth. So I didn't
put
it on my list this time. But a lot of people anticipating that one, I'm sure. This one, there's a couple on here that I wouldn't have thought would have made my list, but I don't know. This is a combination of the director and one actor, I guess, because I'm such a big fan of this actor. So I'm going with my number four being The Lost Bus, which, guess what, also doesn't have a release date, so that's fantastic. It is directed by Paul Greengrass, who did like the Bourne series and Captain Phillips, which we were both big fans of, obviously. This is starring Matthew McConaughey. It's a drama. A bus driver has to navigate a bus carrying children and their teacher to safety through the 2018 campfire, which became the deadliest fire in California history. Not anymore, but I don't know. Maybe that will make it so it doesn't come out at all. It's weird timing. I know that wasn't planned, but yeah. It's either going to come out and like really resonate with folks, or they're going to back away and like delay this. So, but Paul Greengrass and Matthew McConaughey are enough for me to at least be interested if and when this comes out.
Yeah, I do like Paul Greengrass, of course. Like, he, so Captain Phillips as well, which is legitimately one of the most intense movies I saw in theater, even though like I knew the ending of it because it's based on real events. Same thing with United 93.
Yep.
So he's done, you know, he's taken real world stuff before and done a really good job with it. So I would assume he would do the same thing with that. And yeah, I do wonder if they would push it back, like how they would handle that. I guess we'll see.
Because I know like there was a lot of films like when 9/11 happened that were anything around that subject got booted. I don't know what this would be like, since it's not necessarily like a, I don't know, it's not like outside, you know what I mean? It's not like a, and it's just natural versus like a war or terrorist or something like that. So I don't know how it's going to get handled, but I think it's hopefully it doesn't just get scrapped completely, because if it seems like it has some stuff there. And like you said, he's done some great work with like turning real world stuff into like dramas and whatnot. So I'm interested. What's your number four?
I'm going to go to another franchise. I was a huge fan of what Dan Trachtenberg did with the Predator film that he did, Prey. I thought it was one of the legit, sad that didn't get a theater release, probably the best movie that Hulu has ever put out themselves. And he's going back later this year in November, again, another November release with Predator Badlands. Mm-hmm. This is set in the future, so it's kind of going the exact opposite in an alien wasteland. So that I'm intrigued by, because, you know, so much of what made Prey so interesting was the setting, and this is going a different way. But of course, I also really enjoyed some of the, you know, something like 10 Cloverfield Lane, which did, I guess, I don't know if you would count that as the future or not, but at least kind of. So I was impressed with what he's done so far, even though he's only, you know, done two movies really. So based upon what, you know, the last Prey movie, I do like the Predator movies, like the first one. I even like Predator 2, you know, the Alien vs. Predators, you know, maybe not so great, but excited to see him take this on. And again, different setting, so yeah, see how it goes.
I think there's been some interesting stuff being done with both the Predator and the Alien franchise recently. I made a mistake then, I guess, because I saw that Predator Badlands was a film, and I didn't look at it close enough, because if I would have saw that was who was directing it, I probably would have been way more interested in it. It's hard with stuff like that when you've been through stuff like Predator versus Alien or whatever it is. You know, like you've been through some of these other ones that are like, oh, it's just another Predator movie. But I like 10 Cloverfield Lane was one of my favorite films that year, and I did really enjoy Prey as well. So I'm more interested now than I was 10 minutes ago about this film. So that helps. Yeah. So I'll put it on. You said this was November?
November 7th. Okay. And I don't know if it's going to go to Hulu again. I hope it hits theaters.
Right.
It's scheduled to be it is scheduled to go to theaters this time. So that's good. Yeah. There's been some bad Predator movies. There was like that Predator, Predator? I don't know. And then there's Predators, which I actually liked with Adrian Brody, that like they're on a different planet. I do like that movie, but we'll go from there. All right. What's your number three?
My number three is a film that is 100% not on your list. I don't know if it's on anybody's list, because there's not really too much information about it. And I think this is on my list just because I feel like it's going to speak to me like 100%. Like, I feel like this is a Kevin movie. So I don't know. I don't know much about it. The guy directing it is named Carson Lund, and he's never directed anything. The cast is full of people that nobody's ever heard of, outside of the fact that it does have a few like old school baseball players in it, and like some announcers and whatnot that were actually in like the major leagues and stuff like that. So I'm somewhat interested in that. It's called if I'm saying this right, it's called Ephus. So what this is there is a group of middle-aged men, all right, you got me, who are playing basically their last game of, I don't know if it's baseball or softball that they're playing. I'm going to say baseball just because I think it is, but it could be softball. Before the field slash park, whatever it's called, that they're playing in is going to get demolished. And it's not getting demolished by like some type of like company or corporation, or like it's not like a money thing. So it's not going to do the typical thing that you would see where it's like, oh, the big corporate greedy people are going to knock down this old field that everybody loves and we got to fight them. It's actually being torn down to put up a school. So it's not going that route at all. It's literally more of like these individuals like dealing with aging and dealing with the fact that it's like the end of the end of an era might be a little grand, but like the end of this thing that they were using to enjoy each other and, you know, still live out their hobby or some of their passions or whatnot. And I just feel like if it's done right, this could like really speak to me on like an emotional level, being the right age, being someone that probably already has played their last game of organized sports, right before we moved to Florida, because I was playing softball every year. And I think that was probably the end of it when we moved. So I think it's just, it could explore a lot of interesting concepts when it comes to aging and things of that nature. Granted, it's being done by someone that really has never done a movie, so I don't know if he's going to do it well or not. But I think it's something that's at least intriguing to me. It is in the dumping ground that you mentioned earlier. It's coming out March 7th, so it does have a release date. I don't know if it's going to be straight to streaming or whatnot. I'm sure there's not a huge audience that's going to go to the theater for it, but I'm interested to see how this subject is handled and just kind of how it all works. So Ephus is a very unique and strange thing that I wouldn't have thought I was putting all the way up at number 3.
Are they naming it after the pitch, the Ephus pitch? Is that where that's coming
maybe
from?
Maybe. I can't find a whole lot of other information about it outside of a cast list. And when I went through the cast list, there was literally some people that were like major league pitchers back in the, I want to say 70s. Or so, maybe 80s. And then like a couple people like that. So I was like, oh, well, they're actually like getting some people that know about the game that are doing this that might even be like able to like translate this even better. So I don't know. I'm intrigued.
Is it a documentary or is it actually like a movie?
I think it's an actual movie, but again, I didn't do an extensive amount of research for this list, so I could be completely wrong.
Maybe it's a little bit of both.
Yeah,
something like So my next one, it has a release date. It doesn't have a title though. So I know Paul Thomas Anderson, similar to Yorgos Lanthimos, is not for everybody, but I don't love everything he's done. But when he hits, like, he hits really hard for me. Like, I really love The Master, There Will Be Blood, Punch Truck Love, Boogie Nights. Really enjoyed those. Licorice Pizza, his last film I enjoyed. It wasn't my favorite. I know that was kind of controversial. Phantom Thread, I wasn't a huge fan of, or Inherent Vice. So, again, it's not like he's hit every time. But even when he hit misses, like his misses are at least interesting, or like at least out there, and he takes chances. So he is in the movie. There's no title right now. It's just the untitled Paul Thomas Anderson project or whatever it may be. So it's set to come out August 8th. So hoping soon it'll get a title. Starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, Benicio del Toro. So it has a pretty strong cast. Not much regarding like what it's about. Like, there's not much regarding the synopsis or anything like that, like what it's going to center on, which isn't too surprising. But again, I'm just going based upon Paul Thomas Anderson, and I don't think he's worked with DiCaprio before, so interested to see how they work out. Regina Hall is also in this as well, so really stacked cast and good director. Hopefully it works out for
this. Was a good movie. This was the only other one that I thought we might have a chance to have crossover. So we do, because this is my number 2.
Oh, nice.
And I think it's the Paul Thomas Anderson like rule that you have to come out with a film that doesn't have a title until the last second, because I feel like he does this all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like you. I'm a little bit mixed on him. Like, there's some movies that he's done that I've loved. There's some that I've just been kind of like lukewarm on. I felt like this, just based off of again, there's not much out there, but like the little tiny pieces I could gather about this film, it seems to me like it's going in a direction that's more towards the Paul Thomas Anderson films I really like. So that made me feel confident enough to put it on here. And I did read something that, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I did read something that this is actually going to be, have some sci-fi elements.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't think Paul Thomas Anderson's ever done, right?
Not sci-fi. I mean, Magnolia had like fantasy elements, you could say.
And I don't know how much sci-fi it's going to be, but I did see that phrase that there was like sci-fi elements or sci-fi parts or part sci-fi, part something else. So I don't know if that's real or not. I don't know if anybody actually knows what the movie's about or if people are just making stuff up. But like, I know he's been one of those people that have always been like, when people say like, you know, name a director and a genre that you would like to see them do that they haven't done. Like, I feel like this was a combination that I've heard come up before. So I'm intrigued. I've also heard that the film was called, I heard a name, but I don't know if that was just like a placeholder or just like something else, Battle of something. But I don't know if that's real or not. But it is Paul Thomas Anderson that I'm willing to give him a chance, especially with DiCaprio, Penn, Del Toro. Like, I think that's enough for to have me intrigued. So this is my number two. So we finally did get our crossover. Before you go, I did forget that Ephus is a film because I remember I looked it up and it actually has already been released in 2024 in Cannes, I believe. And it does. The other thing that had me intrigued is that right now on Rotten Tomatoes, it only has 17 reviews, but it has a 100%. So that was another thing that kind of had me going. And there's like an IndieWire review and a couple other things that I thought was enough to make me interested. So we're going to double up on the Paul Thomas Anderson film Love. And that takes us to your number two.
Maybe we'll have a crossover here too. I'm not sure. But my number two, I'm a big fan of Bong Joon-ho. Of course, he last did Parasite, which was, you know, won Best Picture. Also really like Snowpiercer, Mother, I'm a huge fan of that film, as well as The Host. He's coming out with a new movie, Mickey 17. It's going to be starring Robert Pattinson. Mark Ruffalo is also in it. The premise does sound weird. It does sound like a Bong Joon-ho movie. It's about someone, basically, that wants to get off Earth, so they signed up to be an expendable, where basically this means your body gets copied, like multiplicity, and then after like they're done using them, they're supposed to be deleted. One of the copies ends up actually surviving the procedure and then goes into conflict with the most active copy, basically. I don't know. You certainly see a lot of similar themes to something like Parasite, you know, probably going to go after, you know, the corporate culture, things of that nature. So based upon his past record, he's worked with American actors before in like Snowpiercer. But I think this might be his first full, you know, English language film. So I guess, you know, after the Parasite basically gave them an idea of like, let's do whatever you want. And now 6 years later, which is kind of crazy, he's finally back with another movie. So considering that, I have it at my number two.
Yeah, this is my like number, I guess if I had to put a number on it, it's probably like either 11 or 12. So it just missed going out there. I love Snowpiercer. Parasite was obviously good, so like I'm all about that. I like the fact that Mark Ruffalo is involved in this as well as Robert Pattinson, and like sci-fi, and I thought it was sci-fi comedy. Did I read that right?
Yeah. Even the poster's kind of, you know what, like who Robert Pattinson kind of looks like in the, I don't know, his face. Like it even has like a silent film look to it. Like, I don't know if that's what it's going for, but
it'll be interesting.
We'll see.
It's also, I think you mentioned it, but it's another movie that comes out supposedly March 7th, which is the same as my number three. So maybe hopefully there'll be a few good movies coming out in March this year. So I hope so, because that's where my number one is coming out as well. So my number one is slated for a March 21st release date. And this may not end up being like as good of a film as I want it to be, but like it is totally right up my alley, just like Ephus was. In a completely different way. So my number one is a film entitled The Alto Knights, which is being directed by Barry Levinson, who directed things like Rain Man and Good Morning Vietnam and some other stuff since that hasn't been quite as good, but like he does have some good films in his filmography. But here's where it gets me. It's written by a guy named Nicholas Pileggi, who was the writer of Casino and Goodfellas, or the screenplay or something involved with the writing. And this is starring Robert De Niro, who is playing both lead roles. So this is a mob movie. De Niro portrays Vito Genovese and Frank Costello, real life leaders of the Genovese crime family. Storyline focuses on their involvement in organized crime during the mid 20th century, and it highlights Genovese's attempt to assassinate Costello in 1957, which marked a turning point in mafia history. So you got De Niro playing two roles. You got the guy that wrote Casino and Goodfellas. You got Barry Levinson directing it. I know it feels like we get a mob movie like every couple years, and I'm a sucker for it every time. So, especially with the right people attached. So, the Alto Knights, kind of similar to The Irishman years ago when we probably did this the last time, is my number one most anticipated film of this year. How about you?
I had that at number 11, actually. Like, I my only hesitation is, like, it's been a while since Barry Levinson's done a really good movie. Yeah. So that was mainly an anticipation, but
it wasn't until I researched the writer that I was like, it went from like a maybe on my top 10 to like all the way to number one.
If I saw it, I didn't even look at the writer, so if I saw it was, you know, the same writer as Goodfellas, that probably would have bumped it into my top 10, but we'll see. My number one is a movie that I guess you could say it's 20 years in the making. I love 28 Days Later. It's one of my all-time favorite horror films. For a while, until I lost this DVD, I would watch it every Halloween. And then, unfortunately, like, it hasn't been available streaming anywhere, but now that's changed. Really like 28 Weeks Later. Been waiting for a sequel forever. And I didn't know, kind of gave up hope. I didn't think they were going to do one. I kind of like, okay, well, that's the end of that franchise. And then the trailer came out, and legitimately, I think it's one of my favorite trailers I've seen in years. I just love the approach. You know, it feels like Danny Boyle is, you know, back at his game again. And because of how much I love the first film and the second, and, you know, how great that trailer was, like, when that is the movie I'm the most hyped for going into this. You know, I like horror. I'm not, like, the biggest horror fan, but, and, you know, I gotta know if they qualify that as zombies or not. I know there's that debate, but with all that, I just was super impressed with everything I've seen for this so far. And when I just thought about what movie I'm most looking forward to, the first thing that came to mind was 28 Years Later. It's not often you get one that makes me feel old that we're even like close to that, because it's like, wait, it hasn't been 28 years, but it's been far closer than that than I'd like to realize. I remember seeing that when I was in high school in the theater.
23 years. It was pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was high school when the first one came out, and now I'm old. So, yeah, with all that, that's why it's my number one. So I knew it probably wouldn't be on your list, but I had to show it some love because I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guarantee this would probably be in Amanda's top 10 as well. I think it's going to be a good year for her. There's a lot of stuff that's right up her alley that's coming out. Did you know that this was also, again, being written by Alex Garland?
Yes, I forgot to mention that. That's good. That's a good point to bring up, too.
He was the writer on 28 Days Later, and then he had uncredited writing for 28 Weeks Later, but now he's, I guess, getting credit this time for 28 Years Later. So I thought that was interesting, too. Danny Boyle and Alex Garland kind of teaming up, and I don't think you mentioned the cast, but Cillian Murphy and Jack O'Connell, Ralph Fiennes, Aaron Taylor Johnson. Yeah. Maybe you did, and I missed it. But
No, I didn't mention them. No.
So I think it's got a lot going for it, and apparently there's going to be another one next year, too, that's already filming. So they're not waiting 3 years for the next one. It says 28 under Alex Garland's Wikipedia. It says 28 years later in 2025, and then in 2026 it says 28 years later, The Bone Temple. I don't know.
I don't know how I feel about that.
So, but either way, that doesn't take away from this one that's coming out this year, because I think that's the natural progression with 28 days, 28 weeks, now 28 years. So. I totally get it. Any honorable mentions that we want to discuss that hasn't come up on anybody's list so far that you want to start with?
There's the Maggie Gyllenhaal is doing The Bride, which movie based upon Frankenstein, which I thought looked interesting. There's a movie called Legend of Ochi, which is like, that looked kind of interesting.
What's interesting about that one is that they're doing a whole bunch of different styles of, like, visuals. Like, there's, I think the main character is actually being performed by like seven different people, like almost like puppet Muppet type deal, or like a practical effects. But it seems like they're also doing like it's not just CG with the effects. It sounds like they're incorporating a number of different things, which I think is going to be very interesting for that one.
We mentioned it last with the box office, but I do like the Mission Impossible film, so I'm looking forward to Quantum Reckoning. The Electric State, which is done by the Russo brothers, you know, that's a Netflix film, so anything that goes on Netflix, I'm always a little hesitant on, but they've had some good movies, so maybe it will work out. But anything that you didn't talk about that you were interested in?
First, I got to give a couple shout-outs to some films that I know my wife would be interested in. So you mentioned Bride with Maggie Gyllenhaal, but there's also, again, it's to be determined, so maybe it won't happen. But Guillermo del Toro is also doing a Frankenstein movie with Oscar Isaac and Christoph Waltz. So that sounds intriguing, especially for the types of films that she likes, as well as, like you said, with the 28 Years Later. And there's a lot of good horror stuff coming out.
Yeah.
Horror, supernatural, that type of stuff. So I, just out of guilty pleasure, I guess, I put The Smashing Machine on my honorable mentions, which is being directed by Benny Safdie, one of the Safdie brothers, just starring The Rock as an MMA person. I don't know much else about it besides it's The Rock and Emily Blunt in a movie about an MMA person. So I'm like, whatever, I'll watch it. Couple actors that have some, or directors that have some stuff that I'm interested in. There's a film entitled Roofman, which is being done by Derek Cianfrance, which I could have said that name wrong, I don't know, but he's the director that did Place Beyond the Pines, Blue Valentine, and The Light Between Oceans. And it has Peter Dinklage, Kirsten Dunst, Channing Tatum, Juno Temple, Ben Mendelsohn. So I think that's interesting. It's about a fugitive Jeffrey Manchester, which was a former United States Army Reserve officer known as Roofman due to his propensity to steal from branches of McDonald's after entering the premises via the roof. That just sounds crazy to me. So like I'm all about that. There's another baseball film. Apparently it's a year of the baseball films for me, or sports films, because there's a film called, it actually has nothing to do with baseball, I don't think, but it's called Caught Stealing, and it's being directed by Darren Aronofsky, who did good on his last sports film, right? The Wrestler. I haven't liked all of his stuff, but this one's, I don't know, it's got an interesting premise. It's a former baseball player that finds himself immersed in the crime world in New York in 1990. I don't know, it's got Austin Butler, Zoe Kravitz, Liv Schreiber, Vincent D'Onofrio, Matt Smith, so that one's kind of interested. I also had Legend of Ochi on mine. There's a Steven Soderbergh film called Black Bag with Pierce Brosnan and Cate Blanchett, which is a spy drama. So that one sound interesting. Alex Garland has another film coming out called Warfare. It just seemed like it was a little too real for me to put on my top 10, but I was at least interested in it. And then I am interested to see what they do with the ballerina film, the John Wick spinoff with Ana de Armas on June 6th. Trey Parker has another film, or has a film coming out, a Kendrick Lamar Trey Parker film. I just don't know anything about it, so I couldn't put it on my list, I guess. And then I can't find anything to substantiate that this is a film, but I read somewhere that there's a film called Heads or Tails that stars John C. Reilly playing Buffalo Bill. And that just on itself is somewhat interesting to me. And then the last one I'll mention is a untitled Catherine Bigelow film that is apparently starring Idris Elba, Rebecca Ferguson, and also has Jason Clarke in it. So she usually does good work. So we'll see what that actually is. It may not come out this year. It doesn't even have a title. So those were some of the ones that I was interested in.
There's also going to be a new Tron movie this year. I don't know how you feel about Tron. Same with me. And I am cautiously optimistic. I don't think it'll be any good, but Happy Gilmore 2. I'll probably watch it, you know, just for nostalgia's sake, but you'll be watching
that in the same way that I watched the reboot of I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I can't think of the last time like Adam Sandler did a comedy that I was like that Adam Sandler comedy that I actually liked, you know, right. It feels like, so
we'll see.
So
I'd love to hear what everybody else is anticipating. If you have some films that are at the top of your list that we didn't mention, or we probably didn't know they existed or are coming out, feel free to comment on the website post or get in touch with us via all the different social media channels. Dan, how can someone reach out to you on social media?
I'm Comic Concierge on like everything, Facebook. I did I don't even know if TikTok's going to exist by the time this comes out, but if it does, I'll be there. But I'm also on Instagram, and hopefully with TikTok potentially going away, I think I might try to shift more focus to YouTube and like more long form comment, but that's way down the line. So, but yeah, I'm Comic Concierge everywhere. Reds, Blue Sky, all that stuff.
It's tough when the government doesn't know the difference between China and Singapore. But anyways, you can find me at Optimus Solo on most of those things, or you can search out the Cinema Geeks, and we have stuff on Facebook and the platform formerly known as Twitter and a couple other things. So feel free to reach out to us and let us know what you're anticipating. After this episode, we're going to get into a new series. So you're going to hear us going through a 10-film retrospective of the legendary Alfred Hitchcock. So we look forward to that. We're going to start with the 39 Steps in the next episode, and then we have 9 other Hitchcock films that we'll be exploring. So if you're a Hitchcock fan, or maybe it's a blind spot, this may be a good chance for you to watch some of them for the first time. We hope that you'll take that journey with us. Until then, this has been Optimus Solo and the Comic Concierge. Tune in next time for another chance to listen to more Cinema Geeks.